Well, hello from Newcastle Baptist Church in this, our third week of our NBC Connect podcast. If you're having your lunch at this time, we'd like to say we hope you have a lovely lunch. I've just had a ham and cheese baguette. Tim, have you had any lunch yet?
I had a pick up a penguin.
You had a penguin, very healthy lunch. I see. We just wanted to say thank you to everybody who has been connecting with us, who's been sending us in messages and feedback on all of the activities we've been doing, whether that's our Sunday services or our midweek podcast, or just when we've been phoning people up and having a little chat with them. We've really, really enjoyed it.
Yep, we really appreciate everybody who's been in touch with us. It's been really encouraging. And thank you for your messages, emails and feedback on that. And we're glad that this midweek podcast is helping just to keep our thinking moving forward and to help us keep aware that we're not on our own. We're not only connected to others within the church, but also it keeps our connection with God as well. So thank you, and please do continue to engage in everything that's happening at this time.
So today's podcast is going to be a little bit shorter than we've usually been sending out. That's partially to do with the fact that both myself and Tim are working incredibly hard this week to put out all sorts of media and resources for you to engage with through Holy Week. On Thursday evening on YouTube, we're going to be holding communion live, which I'm sure will be entertaining, and hopefully all the technology works out. Tim, are you prepared? Have you got your bread and wine?
I definitely got the bread, and I have got several bottles of wine, although they remain unopened and probably will remain unopened. But I'm sure we'll find something that will be appropriate for the occasion.
So is it going to be Vimto or is it going to be grape juice?
I think it's going to be Robinson's Creations blackberry and blueberry juice.
Fantastic. Well, it is symbolic, and we will look forward to taking communion with you as a family on Thursday evening. And then on Friday, we're going to be putting out a Good Friday service with a short message of encouragement and hope for us in light of the fact that we know Easter Sunday is coming. So do join us for those activities and events, and you'll find all of them through our website, www.newcastlebaptist.org.uk. Now, this morning, I just wanted us to focus on this theme that's been going through Holy Week, of the conversations that Jesus had with his disciples, knowing full well what was to come. And I wanted to just look in at a couple of verses from John chapter 14. And these are words that Jesus spoke to his disciples. He says this: "All this I have spoken while still with you." So this is verse 25 of John 14. "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid."
That's a good word, Tom, for this time, isn't it? And one that I think is so useful for us to remember and to think through at times like this. You know, when Jesus had all these things to say to his followers, of course, none of them really appreciated the fact of what was going to come next. But this sense of preparation that Jesus was bringing to all his friends, those he'd walked with for 3 years, those he'd invested his life in, those he had high hopes for, those he despaired about, those he got frustrated about, and yet coming to the crux of this whole mission of his life, he's still prepared just to continue to feed into them the things that are so crucial for them. He knew that they would need during the next few days of crisis as well.
I think when this crisis all started, the feeling that people probably got when they first went to a shop and noticed there wasn't any toilet roll on the shelves or pasta or whatever your daily essential items were, I think some of this is what Jesus was always trying to calm in the disciples, this sense that there's something up, but they're not really sure how or why at the moment. And for us, anxiety often creeps up, doesn't it? It creeps up the back of our necks and makes us feel all horrible. And that can then spread into our heads and our hearts really quickly. Now, we can make all sorts of jokes to try and cope with it. We can send ridiculous things across Facebook and text messages about the crisis. But that's not really fixing the problem for us, is it? And it's not kind of cutting out all of the chaos that we see in the world outside. And I think the words here that Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you? Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid, can really speak into our situation. Because it is chaotic in the world. It feels like it's calmed down a little now, but it's only calmed down a little because everybody's getting on board with the thing of social distancing and respecting others in the supermarket and so on. I think it could become a case that things can get very chaotic again very quickly.
Yeah, and I think the fact that Jesus comes right into the midst of this crisis is so important for us to know and understand. I was trying to imagine as you were reading it, I wondered what the tone of voice was that Jesus would be speaking this in, you know. And I'm sure there was a lot of mixture in his emotions towards these people who were listening. But I wondered how we listen to what Jesus has to say to us. You know, is he scolding them? Is he demanding from them? Is he shouting at them? Do you know, is he shaking them and saying, come on, you know, do you not get this? But of course he understands the human emotion because he carried all those himself as well. And so I love to think that there's a sort of slight exasperation in his voice because he wants them to get it. But also, of course, that's overridden by his sense of love and his real desire that they and we would experience the full extent of what it is that he wants to give us. And this is his generosity, isn't it? You know, peace I leave with you. You know, this is his gift. This is almost like his parting gift to his followers and to us as well. You know, that he was going to go away. Of course, we know that he's with us through the presence of the Spirit now, but this is still his gift to us, and he wants us to embrace and experience this peace that the world cannot understand.
I think when I read around this passage a bit, I like to imagine that the disciples are sitting around probably having a meal. Jesus loved having meals with people. Yeah. And the way that Jesus is telling his disciples how he's promising the Holy Spirit to them in this way, this peace, I imagine he's probably trying to say to them exactly as you're saying, like, come on, you need to understand this. You need to get that whilst I'm going to be gone, I'm leaving you with so many things that you're going to be able to use.
But it may not have been until after the crisis that they really began to understand what the gift was really all about, because while he was with them, then everything was just normal, wasn't it, you know? And whenever, you know, he spoke, they listened. Whenever he said something, they embraced it. And then the crisis comes and it's like everything's shaken around and it's like, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? And then there must have been a quiet moment when they suddenly reflected back and thought, do you remember what he said to us? He said, I'm going to give you peace in the midst of this crisis. And I think it's for us to make sure that we have those moments. Of course, we're going to get scared a bit. We read too much news, probably. We speculate what might or might not happen. But then we sit down and we remember Jesus says, peace I'm going to give you in the midst of the storm. And we talked about that before, of course. And I imagine them sitting after the cross and thinking about, do you remember what he said? And reminding each other, do you remember what he said to us? Peace I give you. Peace, you know, just this amazing gift of not denying what's happening, not explaining it all away, not making light of it, but just experiencing it. And I think it's a beautiful thing that we have as followers of Jesus to remember all these words at this time.
Now, coming back to the toilet rolls, I'm sure for some people they may still not have toilet rolls in your house. And on Sunday night, we got our youth group to suggest alternatives you could use instead of toilet roll. But actually, for people in... Oh, Tim's just pulled a very funny face at me. I don't want to know what he was thinking. But the real remedy to your toilet roll crisis is to get some toilet roll. That's the thing that will give you peace in that situation. But I think there's a mental aspect to it as well, where maybe it's about taking a really deep breath in and just thinking, actually, things are going to be all right. And maybe it's a case of remembering these words that Jesus said. Maybe it's about remembering that no matter what, Jesus is still in control of this. No matter what, God is still on the throne above this situation. And then it's a case of going one step further and saying, you know, no matter what the situation is, I will still serve Jesus. No matter what, I will still trust Jesus. No matter what, I will still believe that God is faithful, even if there truly is no more toilet paper. Even in that situation, I will still, no matter what, trust in what God has to say to me today. Now, we can all have a chuckle at this toilet paper problem. And people deflect in all sorts of ways. But actually, I think this passage especially, but all the rest of the verses to do with this through the Bible, can really help us to embrace this calmness that everything is going to be okay. Because you know why? Because it is going to be okay. God is not surprised by what's going on here. God is not surprised that we have a lack of toilet paper or there's no pasta on the shelves. God's not been caught off guard by this. Psalm 139 says it beautifully. This is verses 2 and 3. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar and you search out my path. And my lying down are acquainted with all my ways. God knows everything that is going on and he is still in control. And it might feel at times like he isn't. But I think this is why Jesus says these words to the disciples. My peace I leave with you.
And I think, Tom, it also is that we've got a choice about it. You know, Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Now, I think, you know, we have to take responsibility as well. If we're just going to sit there and expect it to drop in our laps, then, you know, well, maybe it will, but we've got to embrace it. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You know, there's a choice to make allow our minds to be focused on Jesus, not on all the cares and worries of the world. You know, to enable ourselves be driven by the promises of Jesus, rather than all the pitfalls that could happen if we sit and worry about it too much. And I think, you know, Jesus expects us to do something as well. You know, he expects us to be in his presence. He expects us to embrace what he has to say. He wants us to think about the things that are good and noble and true and trustworthy. And we discipline ourselves to do that. Sometimes, you know, when we're sat on our own particularly, then it's easy just to allow our minds to drift into all the negative and difficulties. And that is normal and natural, because that's often the things that are consuming us. But can I urge you to make a choice and to turn your minds, to fix your minds on the things that you know are true, the things that you've proved all these years, the things that you are brought to remembrance through the presence of the Spirit as well. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. This isn't just positive mental attitude, you know. It's not just everything's going to be okay, everything's going to be okay, and the more I say it, then the more it's going to be okay. It's not about that. It's about understanding that Jesus has this to give you. And if you are open to receive it, then that peace he'll breathe upon you as well, right where you are.
There's no way of us knowing how long we're going to be encouraged to stay at home or practice social distancing. And I think I've become aware over the last few days that whilst it's incredibly infuriating at times, this also might be an opportunity that some of us have never had before and we may never have again. We only have to read the news to see people being furloughed left, right and centre. And whilst that's upsetting, what this does create is an opportunity. I think some of this peace that we read about can be gained through wise use of our time as well in our homes. Maybe it's about letting your kids stay in their pyjamas all day as a special one-off. Or it might mean that this is the step you need to take to move to the next level with an idea that you've had, a project. I think I'd like to encourage you as we come in towards the end to practice loving the people that are in your household, under your roof. And maybe through doing that, you might also be able to discover some of this peace that God is telling us that we can receive. Make some memories with your family. Eat meals around the table together. Pray together. Have fun together. Take some time alone in your room, as Tim said, and have a think about what these words are saying to you right now, how you can experience this peace. Give smiles away for free to people. They don't cost anything. And when the stress rises, because it inevitably will, and the air gets so full of frustrations and anxiety, maybe use this as an opportunity to look to your families and remember the gift of being together. just as the disciples will have done all those years ago when Jesus said these words. Clearly there was confusion, but by the end of it, the disciples understood what had been said. Verse 30, Jesus says, "I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me." Jesus keeps his words short and sweet, and then they get up and they leave, and they move on to the next stage of the Holy Week. We could say celebrations now, knowing in the light of what has happened. But for the disciples, from there, they went into more uncertain times. And obviously it ends up with the travesty of Jesus's crucifixion a few days later. So for us, I think we can experience this peace today. I think it can be incredibly difficult. But I think if we remember these words, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled and don't be afraid," we can go a long way towards recognising what Jesus is able to give us during these difficult times. We want to pray together, as we have done each of these weeks through the podcast, and we want to spend a few moments in prayers of petition to God, to stand above all of our situations, to be in all of our situations, and to hold close to those in need at this time. Today we're going to be focusing our prayers on the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to be diving into each of the lines separately to explore what they mean for us today in the face of the coronavirus outbreak. So let's pray.
So, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name.
We thank you for Jesus, in whom you have adopted us as your beloved children. Help us to remember that sickness and death will never separate us from your love. We believe that you will be with us through whatever lies ahead, and we trust that you are fully in control and perfectly good. We pray that this crisis will result in much praise for you, that believers will be strengthened in their faith, and those who don't yet know you will recognise our human frailty and mortality and turn from their sin to worship you.
Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Until Jesus returns to rescue us from this world of pain, as far as this virus spreads, Lord, we pray that your kingdom will grow further. In the hearts of people of all nations, finding in Jesus the sure hope of resurrection into your new creation. We pray that people will be free from sickness, suffering and death to enjoy you and your goodness forever. Father, we rejoice in your sovereign power, in your mercy. We pray that this crisis would end soon, that you would deliver us and all of your people through this crisis. And may your gracious plans to save the lost be advanced through this season of humbling.
Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us.
Father, we thank you for dedicated doctors, nurses and other NHS staff, for our government, our Prime Minister and its advisers. Please grant them the wisdom and endurance they need. Sustain us with the daily bread of Christ, who was crucified for our sins, and reassure us when we're anxious. Heal us when we're sick. Strengthen us when we must die, and comfort us in our bereavement. Embolden us to share the gospel of Jesus, the living bread that we all need. Father, we pray that you would have mercy where we have presumed upon our health, forgotten our frailty, or neglected to thank you for your daily care and protection over us. Forgive us because Christ died for our sins. Count us acceptable in his perfect righteousness, and in the light of your mercy, help us show mercy to all.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Deliver us, Lord, through this time of testing. Help us to resist every temptation to doubt your love. Help us stand firm in our faith against the evil one's lies, knowing that all over the world, your people are enduring the same kind of trials.
For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Tim.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. And please do keep connected. Let's get together over Easter and let's look forward to Easter Day, Resurrection Sunday, when we celebrate Jesus bursting out of the tomb and bringing us to that place of new life as well. That's an amazing thought, isn't it, Tom?
Absolutely.
This experience of new life, that the old has gone, the new has come, and we keep longing and working and believing for that day in our own lives and in the lives of our nation and our world at this particular time as well. This isn't going to last forever because there's something bigger and greater that God has drawn us to. So get those Easter eggs out.
Yes.
On Sunday.
Yes.
Get eating them.
Yes, and, but not all of them straight away.
Okay.
Hold back one for 11:15 when we have our big live chat together, which we'll be sending out info about via email. So if you're not connected into our emails, do get in touch with us as soon as possible so we can make sure that you're connected into our big cup of tea and Easter egg munch, or whatever we're going to be calling it. Munch sounds good, doesn't it?
It sounds like something really tasty as well. So thanks, Tom, and thanks, everyone, for listening. So it's goodbye from Tom.
And it's goodbye from him. Yes, nailed it this week. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Let's pray a prayer of blessing. Father, we pray that you would bless each and every one of us this morning. As we go away from here, we ask that you would be working in each of our lives. And may we all know your blessing at this time. Amen.